welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast. If you're a regular listener, you might be wondering what's going on. Two episodes, 1 week, things are getting crazy here. We're releasing this episode this week because we're talking with Jade from the Full Draw Film Tour. And the Full Draw Film Tour is kicking off now, like this week. And we wanted to make sure that you guys knew about the tour that's going to be really happening over the next several months, over the summer. But it's coming to some of you soon, so we wanted to get this out there. The Full Draw Film Tour is an event that we are proud to support, proud to have Jade on here and tell you guys about it. It is such a fun night if you guys can make it to one. And the thing is, the Full Draw Film Tour used to be primarily just in the West, but the lineup has expanded year after year, and they've made a big jump this year. They're pushing to the Midwest and the East Coast. They're going all over the place. So tune in to this episode with Jade. It's an enjoyable conversation for sure. We hear about the tour as well as some fun stories that he has from the field. And be sure to visit fulldrawfilmtour.com to see all of the places that the tour will be. And man, if you have the opportunity, make sure you get there. XO, we're going to have a demo pack there. So it's also another opportunity where you can actually see a pack in person. I know that there's a lot of people interested in the packs that, you know, kind of have this hesitation about them being online only and can't see them in person. So the Full Draw Film Tour is a great place to see an XO pack as well. Anyway, you'll hear more about the tour. Let's get right into this conversation with Jade. Enjoy the second episode of this week. Jade, welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast. How's it going, man?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. It's first crack Monday morning, so I think we're all busy and getting caught up, but excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great Monday, but going to be a good week here kicking off the film tour. So
yeah, so we're going to get this episode out right away. So most of the time we record these things and aren't necessarily sure when they're going to be released and can't talk about super timely stuff always, but you are just getting ready to kick off the tour this week, and this episode will be released this week. Before we get into dates and specifics and what's coming up, I'm just curious. We talked previously a little bit on the podcast about the Full Draw Film Tour a couple of years ago, but it wasn't with you. How did you get involved with the Full Draw Film Tour and kind of take things over and keep things running now?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story in a roundabout way, but I got involved. I'll keep it brief here. I got involved. Let's see. Well, the beginning, I was actually, my buddies and I were starting a little video company or attempting to, kind of a little group just playing with it. And I was looking up names online of like, oh, let's call it like Full Draw Films or something. And I Googled that and it's like, oh, no way. Full Draw Film Tour kind of bummed me out. I was like, oh, it's taken already. So that's how I discovered the film tour. And started going to a couple shows. And when I started dabbling with filming myself, submitted to the film tour and got to know Cody and John and all the crew, and eventually started helping out with shows here and there. More and more help for, I gave Cody more help. And next thing I know, it's up for sale and kind of found its way into my lap. So here we are, planning my second season, and it's going great.
That's awesome, man. Did you do quite a bit of filming then? Was that kind of your hunting background, was on the filming side before you took over the tour?
No, I was always been a hunter. Grew up in Idaho, you know, it's just Steve knows a wealth of opportunity that we have here. I'm pretty fortunate on that aspect. Yeah. And I was in the fisheries career, did some habitat work for fish and wildlife. That's what I went to school for, and kind of got burnt out on that and was trying to figure out a new career path at one point, and just kind of had a passion for filming and photography. And as one day it just clicked, it's like, oh, that's what I want to do. And so I pursued that and ended up filming for a few different television shows at the time and smaller project here and there. And yeah, and kind of just turned into a hunter / field producer editor.
Yeah. I would imagine it's a kind of an interesting perspective being on hunts as the guy behind the camera, because you're not the one making decisions about the hunt itself. You're not the one pulling the trigger or saying necessarily, let's go here, let's go there, let's try this, let's make this call. you're almost this fly on the wall in a way. What are some stories that stick out maybe from some of the hunts that you've been on of just wild things that happened and you were just sitting back behind the camera catching it all?
Yeah, it is a different aspect being behind the lens, if you will, kind of just trying to capture things that everyone would want to see. But it's also hard to remove yourself from the hunt. I mean, especially being a hunter myself, lots of times they're friends of mine and they actually, if I'm like, hey, let's go around here or whatever, they'll actually take my input. But it's funny. Yeah. One circumstance that kind of jumps out is I was filming a lot for Outback Outdoors. They have a television show on Sportsman Channel. Kind of helped me get started in the industry, honestly. But Adam Wells and I, he's one of the hosts. We were in Montana on an elk hunt. And it was on a private ranch. So a rabbit hole we don't have to get down is the whole private filming on private property versus public and the fees and all of that. But so we're on this private ranch chasing a giant, like 380 class bull, I would say. It's by far the biggest elk I've seen on the hoof in person, you know. And so we're putting together this cool story, and long story short, he disappeared off the property. And some weather came in and it was just pouring down rain. And, you know, having camera gear and weather, it doesn't make for great situation. Have to keep the camera gear dry, and then you have lens fogging up and all that kind of stuff. But, I think it had rained all night and was still raining hard when we got up to go hunting, and we were glassing. It was pretty open country over in eastern Montana, and spotted this herd and made a move to get close, and it kind of had to go over a ridge, and it's still pouring rain. I'm just like, God, this kind of sucks to film. I hope we don't. I mean, you want to get into some good action, but at the same time, you're like, man, can it be good conditions if we do? So we pop over the ridge and kind of spot where the cows were, and it's like, well, we also had our fingers crossed this maybe was the herd that big bull was in. We hadn't laid eyes on the bull. It was kind of in the same area. So we start working down a little draw to kind of get in position, maybe to call or something. And it's just raining, and Adam's about ready to set up to start calling and get my camera ready and everything. It's like, gosh, I don't like this. It's raining hard. I have a rain cover over the camera, everything. But when you do that, like, you also cover your microphone depending on how hard it's raining. So every raindrop is like killing the audio as well. So I just happened to look down the hill and I see this like a pretty big rock, and it looked like it could be an overhang of some type. And we were only probably 50 yards above it or something. It's like, hey, Adam, let's go see if we can get under that rock. He looks up at me. He's like, oh, that's not a bad idea. So we go down there, and it's the perfect little spot. We end up calling it a cave, which, I mean, it was a rock that overhang. Oh, there's probably 10 feet that we could get under out of the weather, and it's completely dry. And so we get under there and like take off a raincoat. He's like, oh, I like this. Cause you know how raincoats are noisy. And if you shoot your bow, slap your arm or something, it's not good. So he took off his backpack, his coat, and I was took the rain cover off the camera and everything. And, so then we could peek out around the rock. I don't know. We could see the herd about 100 yards out. I don't even know if he started calling. We're just getting set up still, and he peeks around the rock and he's like, oh, the bull, it's right here. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, 30 yards. And it wasn't the big bull, unfortunately, but I don't know, still like a 320 class bull. Walks out 15 yards broadside, and I had the main camera running and like two GoPro angles. He shoots the bull and runs off and dies in sight. And I was like, holy cow, we just did this under a cave.
That is awesome.
It was pretty cool. It turned out to be a real a real neat episode. He shoots the bull and we do all the normal TV type stuff. And then I was like, oh, we should go like draw a cave pictograph or something on the wall.
Yeah, leave your mark, right, for history.
Yeah, exactly. It was, yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better situation. It was pouring rain to get out of the weather and make a cool story out of it altogether.
Yeah. This is an open-ended question, but I'm just kind of curious on your experience. Did it really just popped in my mind when you said, you know, do all the TV stuff. What are some of the key differences you see between like TV hunting shows and the films that are featured on the Full Draw Film Tour?
I mean, it's a lot of more interview type, like we call them spines, when they just sit down in front of the camera to do an interview. A spine interview. Lots of that happens in TV. A lot more like grip and grins. And some, what's lots of stuff we used to do when I was in it is, I mean, you do secondary takes like for B roll that wasn't the live cuts that you want to put in. I mean, you try to make them as real as possible, but it's all stage type stuff, like a drawing your bow or angles or, that helps the storyline flow along, but are quick cuts. That type of stuff happens a lot more on, and doesn't have to, and some TV shows are getting away from it, but a lot of that doesn't happen in a film type. Films are, we do have lots of television shows that do submit film tours, and they do edit them kind of differently for that. You have more voiceover in the film, it seems like, instead of a spine interview. Try to get like a, I don't know, it's a cinematic feel where you could tell the story in the film type submission versus actually telling it on the interview, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of filmmakers that are kind of crossing the boundary, not really the boundary, but between TV and the film world. I mean, I think there's actually three or four filmmakers that have television shows that are in the tour this year. And they'll actually re-edit their film submission and make it a suitable episode for TV. When you have commercials that you have to plan around and stuff, it makes it difficult to, and that's the cool part about the film tour is that the filmmakers really are free to do whatever they want. You know, you got your 10-15 minute block and you don't have to worry about, oh, we have to make a break right here kind of deal. So
that's cool. So I'm sure that, you know, the majority of our listeners are familiar with the Full Draw Film Tour, have hopefully been to one or a dozen or however many, but I also know that we have, you know, folks listen to this show that are new to hunting even. And so maybe they're hearing about the Full Draw Film Tour for the first time. What is it? If you were to tell somebody, you know, off the street, this event, how would you describe it? What does the night look like? What's the schedule? Kind of walk us through what it is.
Yeah, for sure. No, I hope there's lots of people that are interested in going to the film tour, new listeners, new hunters. The meat and potatoes of the film tour is definitely the filmmakers. And when you hear a Full Draw Film Tour or some type of a hunting show, everyone, their first reaction, I think, is television. Like, well, why would I go pay for a ticket to this when I could just turn on the Outdoor Channel or Sportsman Channel and watch the same stuff? And like we just talked, these films are definitely different than a television show. I think a lot of them have stories that can resonate with the audience, either emotionally, or they get, just like any hunt, you get super stoked for the guy that did it and you can relate yourself. So I like to consider the film tours a big event, where lots of hunters and just like-minded individuals can get together. Usually we have, the venues are really cool and you get food, beverages, everyone can socialize together before the show kicks off. Then we kick off the show. It's great films. And we give a ton of gear away at intermission. I mean, we have bows, optics, cane calls, all kinds of stuff. So we like the show is real interactive. The crowd cheers, they cry, just have a great time. And then big part of the film tour is we like to give back. We partnered with a few different nonprofit organizations over the years. Wishes for Warriors is one we've worked with, Hunt of a Lifetime. And then we also have conservation groups come and table. And it's just, we really enjoy the part where we can give back. Every kid that comes to the show has a chance to take home a new bow. So it's just a fun atmosphere for hunters to gather and enjoy it and hopefully get pumped for the upcoming season.
How is the lineup of the actual films? How's that chosen and determined? And is every event the same lineup?
Yeah, so the show will be basically the same at every date during the 2018 season. Over the winter, we select the films. This year, we had around 40 submissions, I think. And it's a real... It's a big task that's kind of unfortunate that you have to cut it down. You know, we get a lot of great submissions. And so I put together a panel of past Full Draw filmmakers, people that have helped with the tour, and then just random people that's like, this, give me some feedback on the films. This year I even reached out to some non-hunters. What do you think of these stories? Tell me what. And so that was kind of cool to get their input. And so we narrow it down and they vote and the top 10 films made it this year. So it's a great lineup. We have, I think, 6 elk films, a bear hunt, a couple different deer hunts. It's a real great lineup. Several filmmakers are new to the tour, and then we have some that have been part of the show over the past years. So excited to share it with everyone.
Was there anything interesting that came out of sharing the videos with non-hunters?
Yeah, there was. So one of them was a family member of mine that had never been a hunter, and she really... I mean, it's kind of funny, like she was drawn to films that maybe a hunter wouldn't particularly be drawn to. Her overall top ranking were still the same generally as everyone else, that just her top film was like different than someone's, you know. Uh-huh. It's just, I think each individual can relate to certain films at a different level. On that note, there's one film particular that I really am drawn to this year. It's a pretty cool film. It's about a father and son, and it just reminds me personally of how I was brought into the outdoors with my dad. So stories like that, I think each person that comes to the tour will be drawn to a different one, but there's definitely the top ones that everyone's like, oh, did you see that? That was so cool. So
it's cool to hear too that, you know, you have 40 or 50 films and it's not decided based on, oh, well, what's the best elk killed, or, you know, I mean, it's not about necessarily the quality, it's not about, you know, even how it was killed necessarily, but there's these deeper storylines, like you were saying, with the father and son.
Yeah, for sure. And I think everyone likes to see a big elk or big deer get shot. I mean, who doesn't? But I think what really brings the film tour apart from other type events is the storylines that you can tag along and you feel part of the hunt and the emotions that come out. I mean, that's what really relates. And I keep stressing this in talking to people that like, how do I get into filming? What's the big thing? And I think storylines, whatever that might be, like the father son or overcoming something physically or mentally, or humor is like a big one. Like really, like I like films that they bring in humor. I mean, if it's the camaraderie of the hunt, and it's all about the memories we make. So I'd like to stress that when new filmmakers try to break into the industry, I like to drive home that point that make sure you tell a story.
It makes me think, we talk a lot about, you know, hunting isn't just about the gear, right? Like, it's easy to get caught up in the gear, but it's more about the hunt. It's more about the skills and the knowledge than it is the gear and having the latest and greatest. I think that filming is one of the same, it's can be the same way, where people who get new to filming get so caught up in the technicalities of it, whether that's a camera or editing techniques or things like that, that they're missing really the story and the essence of what they're trying to capture because they're so focused on how they're capturing it. Has that been something that you've seen, or any advice, since you just kind of were talking to filmmakers there for a minute?
Yeah, for sure. That's, it's always the first thing someone says, what camera do I need to get to get into filming? It's like, there are so many different cameras out there that all can get capture awesome footage that would be perfectly suitable for the film tour. But the big thing is like knowing how to use the camera and but then the ability to put together a story. And I think that's, even when I broke into industry, it's like the first, only thing you think you need to film is, oh, we got to get that elk on footage and make sure we get cool trophy shots of him. And it'll be so cool. And then you get back to the computer and sit down and you're like, oh, well, that's cool, but I need this, this, and this if I want to try to make a show out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that the story is what really resonates with the attendees that come to the show, but definitely knowing how to use your equipment helps in the end. I don't know, Steve's kind of, he's dabbled in the filmmaking a little bit. So do you have any thoughts on all of that?
No, yeah, you're spot on. And I think it's a natural process everyone goes through. You get obsessed with what camera you got, and then when you're out there filming, you just want to get shots of animals. But at the end of the day, like, I'm sure you could look back at the last, you know, what's this, Full Draw Film Tour 8?
Yep, this is the eighth season.
I mean, it's the last 7 years, your top three or four films every single year, it's always about the story behind it, you know? I mean, it's like you said, killing a big elk on film's cool, but if you don't have a story and there's no emotional connection for the user or the viewer, you know, it just kind of goes over their head. So definitely the ones with comedy and then some drama in there, which, you know, you can't fake, right? You can't go out there and, or if you do try to fake it, it you know, looks cheesy. So
you mentioned the giveaway, like all the other stuff going on. I think the other coolest thing besides just the films, and obviously winning gear is cool, there's the giveaways and contributing to a good cause with the raffles is neat, but it's so cool to see that many people in general just come together for the shared purpose and shared passion, because I mean, whether it's intentional or not, sometimes being a bow hunter, you know, you just don't get the grasp of who all is out there, right? So you might, like, a lot of times we're trying to seek isolation, you know, especially in a backcountry pursuits. But then you get into this room where there's hundreds and hundreds of people that love to do that too. And it's cool to have all those people and all that passion come together in the same place.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Who doesn't get frustrated if they see someone parked in your spot or headed down the ridge to your same canyon, you know, but, and then we all come together for the film tour or an archery shoot or whatever. And it's totally different. You just want to seek out people and BS about hunting. And yeah, it's cool to have that aspect as part of the show, is where everyone can gather and share stories and just really get excited about what they have planned for the year.
Obviously, this has hit mostly Western states, but you're pushing further and further east and have a really expanded lineup and hitting a whole bunch of places this year. Just kind of hit some of the high points on places you'll be. I know this is all happening, what, over the next two and a half months, right?
Yeah, the shows are starting here, well, this week. Start in Spokane, Washington, and then from there, the shows start piling on. We hit our main Western base for the first month and a half, and then we're real excited to do that expansion you were talking about, Mark, heading clear to the East Coast. So the far ends of the aspect will be in Pennsylvania and Florida and everywhere in between. I would have liked to add a lot more dates to fill in the gaps between shows out there, but can't stretch ourselves too thin this year. But we'll be in the upper Midwest, back through the South, and kind of hit as many spots as we can. So yeah, we'd like to hear if there's somewhere you want the film tour to be, send us a message, and we kind of take in all that input and when we were planning the tour. So yeah, we're real excited to expand and just grow the community that's Full Draw.
That's cool. If people want to go see all the dates, you know, what's the website address? And then is this something where you'd recommend, should they get tickets in advance or just kind of show up at the door? Does that kind of matter?
Yeah, the website's the best place to find all information about the dates, tickets, and even if you want to check out what films are in it. But yeah, you can buy tickets online in advance. And then usually also at the door. In advance, you definitely get a break on the price. And then we usually partner with a local pro shop of some type, and they sell tickets at the door in advance there too. And really the best, if you want to save a dollar here or there, the pro shop price is the best you're going to find.
Jade, man, it's going to be a crazy couple months for you. Thank you for taking the time to let us know about the tour. We're you know, Steve and I have both been to several and happy to continue to keep going. So thanks for continuing to put this together.
Yeah, we're glad to keep it going. Yeah, make sure everyone, if they have a question or whatever, just check out the website. We're pretty active on social media as well. Yeah, there might even be a XO pack at the show for people to put their hands on.
Awesome. Thanks, Jade.
All right, take care, guys.
That's a wrap, guys. Seriously, if the tour is coming to your area, even remotely close, you can make the drive and make it. Don't miss it. It is such a fun night. Again, be sure to visit fulldrawfilmtour.com to check all of that out. As always, you can get more about this podcast at exomountaingear.com/podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will catch you next week.